Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
You're listening to Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. The subject matter of this podcast is for mature audiences, and there are a few words here and there that could land you in the principal's office, so listener discretion is advised.
Here we are.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Do you need to go to the bathroom?
That's the sound of me walking into the office of Restore Pelvic Therapy. They help people of all genders and ages with many things, like pain during sex, pelvic trauma, vaginal changes after childbirth, and really any and all pelvic floor health needs. But let me back up and tell you how I got there. A few months back, my sister had her first baby, so I flew to New York to meet my niece and see how her parents were holding up. Of course, my niece was the cutest thing I've ever seen, and my sister and her husband were completely in love with their child. But what shocked me was how well they were adjusting to parenthood and sleep deprivation. They were making it look way too easy. Then one night, my brother-in-law insisted that us sisters go out just the two of us to catch up, and that's when I got the real scoop on transitioning into motherhood. I don't have children, so I asked all of the intrusive questions about labor and pumping and having a whole little human to take care of. And then, of course, I asked about sex. When can you do it again? How are things different down there? Do you even want to after you haven't slept in days? A few glasses of wine in, and she started telling me her feelings about being a mom whose breasts produce food and a wife whose breasts are, you know, exciting in other ways. She described exercises to get her external and internal body back, and feeling like her body was, you know, hers but not hers. This was really provocative to me. When and where do mothers get to draw the line and say, this body is mine? So of course, I asked every mom I knew what a postpartum sex life looked like. On this episode of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I talk to new moms about sex and get an exam from a pelvic floor physical therapist who educates me on the importance of pelvic floor health for everyone. Come join me on this adventure.
And everybody's on you at the same time. Like, everybody wants to be with you. Now I have the baby crying because she's hungry. She wants the boob. My husband wants the boob. Like, everybody wants the boob, or everybody wants this or that. And so
that's Gigi. She's a nursing assistant, artist, performer, and a new mom that I had the pleasure of chatting with about the many changes a baby can bring to one's sex life.
Hi, my name is Gigi Hewitt, and my daughter is going to be 3 months old this coming Saturday. And what I do mainly, other than being a mommy, is I am a certified nursing assistant, and I have the privilege of going to work in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center.
I asked you here just to talk a little bit about the physical, emotional, and sensual things that happen when you have a baby.
Yeah, totally. A lot changes body-wise. Well, I fortunately and unfortunately went through an emergency C-section. So right off the bat, I have a big old mommy scar, badass mommy scar, right on my bikini line. So that's a big one. It's interesting because that scar may always hurt, like, for the rest of my life. Somebody was talking to me about that today, just because, like, some days it's numb, and then with the weather, it's been raining in San Diego, it's been painful. Like, it almost stings, depending on the way that clothes are over it, and it's pretty healed, so I'm thinking that might be a sensation that sticks around. I was pretty small. I was probably about 110 pounds before I got pregnant and gained, I want to say, about 50, which is about 20 more than they recommend. When I'm trying to fit into clothing now, clothing from before, it's changed the entire shape of your body in the sense that, like, now I have more open hips, and so certain jeans don't fit me the same way, and my shoulders are a little bit more squared off. I gained more weight specifically, like, in my thighs rather than in my stomach. And so I got a couple of stretch marks all over my thighs and my stomach. So physically, that's kind of where I'm at, like, from a seeing standpoint. Internally, a lot of people think that when you have the C-section, you kind of skipped out on any vaginal issues that could come up. Whereas I happen to be a breastfeeding mom, and that sucked a lot of the estrogen out of my body. Somehow there's a travel process there where the estrogen sucked out with the baby and it increases it. I think that's mainly the thing, is that they increase the estrogen because your body is trying to produce so badly. So that takes away some of the vaginal wall. It thins it out. And so it makes it so if you're trying to get down and dirty, you don't have as much natural lubricant. And so losing out on that is really interesting. So quite a lot has changed in all different aspects, despite not birthing my daughter vaginally.
And what's your perception of those changes?
You know, it really depends. I really don't mind the scar. Maybe coming from the mother's point of view of it was an emergency, like I mentioned, and so I would do it all over again, despite how scary it was, and take even a bigger scar wherever I needed to if it meant that my daughter was safe. I think the weight gain was probably my biggest challenge, and especially going through the pregnancy and the hormonal change of that. It's depressing in some ways, which is sad, you know? I think that there's a heavy pressure on women, especially from other women, to look as good as you can, even while pregnant and doing this crazy thing. I had many girls at my work, of all places, come to me and they're like, oh, I only gained 19 pounds with my child and I lost the weight immediately. And it was totally painful because I couldn't understand why I would gain more than what they had originally put me on. They say they recommend between 25 and 35 pounds. So learning how to accept like where I was at and the process of forgiving yourself, even though it's nothing to forgive yourself for, you just did something amazing, like you created a human, was hard. I believe though that ultimately, especially now being just about 3 months postpartum, I've really grown to accept and like fall in love with the new versions of me, because I think it's the best thing I could do as a new mother and a mother to a daughter, and show her this really positive example of whoever I am, whatever I look like, or however I feel. Like, I'm just gonna be as positive as I can about it. And it's okay to be sad, don't get me wrong, about certain things, but this is who I am. I don't know if that quite answered your question.
It absolutely answers my question, thank you. I think a lot of women, whether they've had babies or not, fall under that, you know, that spell of society says this is what you're supposed to look like, and there's this one idea of what beautiful is, and if however far away you stray from that, makes you not worthy.
Right.
And so the idea that there's the changes that happen to your body from making a whole human is anything but beautiful is kind of silly, right?
Definitely. It's easy to compare yourself and then for somebody to get up in your face and be like, well, I didn't get stretch marks and I lost the weight and I lost my belly immediately, when you're already going through so much postpartum, because there's such a big hormone drop, you know, especially in those first couple of days. So like, you're not sleeping, there's a nurse in your room every 5 minutes, and now somebody says you're fat. It's a lot to pile up very quickly. I think that it is beautiful. That's just the best way to put it. And I also am a strong believer in, like, if there's something you really desperately want to change, like, I don't love the purple stretch marks, so I'm going to go get a really cool tattoo. Like, yeah. I'm going to go embrace it the best way I can. And if I can find a way, not necessarily even to cover it, but to incorporate it in, so that way I feel a little bit better about it, then I will.
When we come back, Gigi and I talk about what it's like to be a new mom and a sexual being at the same time.
Most plastic doesn't get recycled. It just ends up in the landfill. Instead of trashing it, you can reuse that container by refilling it at Earthwell Refill over and over again. You can refill laundry detergent, dish soap, shampoos and conditioners, even toothpaste. You name it, and Earthwell Refill has it. All natural products that are good for you and our community. At Earthwell Refill, we make it easy to live a more sustainable and eco-friendly lifestyle.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle. Find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. This week, we are talking about postpartum, sex, and the ever-changing body. I had a chance to pick the brain of new mom Gigi about her experiences wearing many hats.
My sister also had a baby around the same time you did, and she commented to me that, you know, having her breasts sucked on used to be this, like, really hot sexual thing, and right. Now it's her food, and that she's like, I am food, you know?
Definitely.
So I wonder what your thoughts are on your body being yours, but then also it is for your baby, you know, you're producing milk, and what that's like for you.
For sure. That is a great question. Your sister has a really good point. Not only is it like physically painful the first few weeks because you're trying to like teach this young creature that just popped out of you how to like latch on to you literally is the best way I could put it. But it is this super odd feeling of everything. I wouldn't say everything has changed, especially because you come around at some point, but with that first couple weeks when you're finally like getting yourself back and it's kind of time that you could go out and do hot, sexy things again, you have this feeling on the back of your head of like, man, my kid's mouth was right there just like 20 minutes ago. Or vice versa, you know, if your partner, whoever is going for it, I always have this kind of like odd passing thought, like a sailboat of like, oh man, like she's going to eat there too in like an hour. So I think that there's definitely a change there and a process of like accepting where you're at with motherhood and trying to divvy out where you stand as a mother and where you stand as a partner and where you stand as a sexual being, because it's all changed, but not at all at the same time. If you can find a way to balance it out in your head and go with it. You know?
Yeah.
If we really want to get kind of deeply into it, you are always producing. And so it's also, I'd argue, kind of odd for your partner too, because they're going back to something that was always the huge. And then all of a sudden, like, there's a taste. You know? Like, mm-hmm. Something comes out. So reworking through that, on top of a bunch of different aspects of sex, it's very different. It's very confusing. Having a baby who breastfeeds, I personally, especially in the beginning, got really irritable. Just because it sucks so much of your actual energy too, that, okay, like I'm done. The baby's done. Like she's good. I just put her down. And now my husband's like trying to get some. And like everybody's on you at the same time. Like everybody wants to be with you. Now I have the baby crying because she's hungry. She wants the boob. My husband wants the boob. Like everybody wants the boob, or everybody wants this or that. And so working through being a partner, again, like a partner who has sex and has romance and this and that, while still maintaining the fact that you're a young mom, is craziness. It's chaos. But it's great, I think. And I think there's more potential for it to get great once I start to really work through setting boundaries with myself, you know, what's okay and what's not okay.
I'm sure that is constantly changing too.
Absolutely. Especially like as she's gotten older, I think that she can entertain herself a little bit more. And so with that, it gives myself a little bit more acceptance that I can take back some independence. Like it is okay to leave her in the swing for 20 minutes while I go off with dad and do whatever, you know? But in the beginning, especially with barely sleeping and adjusting to just a completely different schedule and routine than we ever had, I don't even think I necessarily wanted sex. Like that was the last thing on my mind. You're supposed to wait until the first doctor's appointment. And we were kind of like, well, like what's the worst that could happen? And the worst that could happen is you can get pregnant. I remember going into the doctor's that first time and she was like, have you had sex yet? And I was like, absolutely. I'm so sorry. Because they don't want you to do it before 6 weeks. And she was like, no, the only reason we don't have C-section moms do it for the first 6 weeks is just in case they get pregnant. Like, just in case you don't have a birth control set in place. So But I remember the fear. The fear was there because I was afraid more of an infection. You know, like they talked about the cervix closing with time. So that was my bigger fear, I think, more than actual pain, since I figured in my head I didn't deliver vaginally. So it was like, where would the pain come from?
Well, your pelvic floor is affected whether you give birth vaginally or not, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Which I don't think I realized at the time, but I have almost gotten tighter, if that makes sense. They're sending me to a pelvic floor therapist to re-stretch it out, which I don't think is as commonly heard of.
Is there anything else you want to tell new moms, or you would have advice for new moms when it comes to, you know, how to connect back with themselves, how to enjoy sex again and all of that?
Give yourself grace and give yourself time to heal in whatever way that is, whether that's physically, whether that's mentally. Having a baby takes such a toll, whether you're 20 years old or 40. When it comes to sex, I think, and I'm still working on this myself, if your husband can suck your nipples and it still feels good, fucking go for it. Like, if you still want to call him daddy and do these crazy things that you're doing beforehand, go for it. I think that you can still be a fantastic mother if you're breastfeeding and nurturing by day and getting tied up and spanked by night. You are still who you are, no matter what. I could be Gigi the mom, but I could also be Gigi the pole dancer and Gigi the artiste and all of these things, because that's what's going to make me such a wonderful mom, is the fact that I kept certain aspects of my identity. And it's okay to take a minute to breathe and then come back around to you.
I walked away from this conversation and the one with my sister with real admiration and pride in this generation of young moms. They are learning to take care of their children and themselves with intention and grace. When I checked back in with my sister and Gigi, they both told me that they started seeing pelvic floor physical therapists for different reasons, but they were really excited about it. So I Googled pelvic floor PT and came across Ariel, who was delighted to talk to me about this fascinating and usually neglected part of our bodies. But we'll get to that after this short break.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pelvic floor health was not on my radar at all until I talked to my sister and Gigi, who both gave birth pretty recently. They had very different birthing and postpartum experiences, but both of them were pretty clear about wanting to have their sex lives back as soon as possible. They turned to pelvic floor physical therapists to help them with that. I was officially intrigued, so I set out to find who was doing this work and what exactly do they do. Lucky me, I found Ariel, who had a ton of information she was glad to share.
I am Ariel Gallup. I am a pelvic floor physical therapist. We are physical therapists that we learned how to treat the whole body, so shoulders, knees, hips, ankles, but then we specialize in treating the pelvis. So the muscles of the pelvis are my specialty. So that is urinary issues, bowel issues, pain with intimacy, pregnancy, postpartum, all those things. I got into pelvic therapy because a lot of my friends were having pain with intimacy and they weren't really getting answers, and they were trying to figure out, okay, what do we do about this? Some of them just brushed it off and just dealt with it, and then some of them did research, and we kind of found out about pelvic PT, and the more I learned about it and the more I saw it help my people, I got into it, and now I love it, and that's all I treat. I think that a lot of people have pain with intercourse, with penetration, and that could be they always had pain or they had an injury. So A common diagnosis that I see is called vaginismus, and that is most of the time they've had it forever. So they have pain with anything penetrating, whether that's a tampon, a speculum, a finger, a penis, anything, and everything in between that. And that is something that often comes from a history of trauma. Sometimes it is medical, physical, sexual, sometimes it's religious, and the pelvic floor muscles, they contract and they prevent anything from going internal. And if anything tries to go internal, then they can be painful and sore. And so that's a really common diagnosis that I see and I treat. But other people have pain with intimacy too. Sometimes people have a hip injury and the muscles of the pelvic floor get tight as a reaction to that, and then they have pain with intimacy. I see a lot of guys that had urinary tract infections or prostate infections that then their muscles surrounding that area, all the muscles of the pelvis, even the leg muscles, get tight, and then they have pain. Sometimes that's with an erection, sometimes that's after having intimacy, sometimes that's with running, but most of the time it's in the base of the penis or in the testicles, and we work on that to make that better so they don't have pain.
So you're seeing a kind of an emotional and mental connection to the muscles in the whole pelvic area, and that leading to pain.
So much so. And it's not always that. I should be clear. It's not always the case. Sometimes there's truly just a mechanical part of it, but most of the time there's so much a physical and mental part of it. And I refer anyone who's coming to me with pain to see a talk therapist. I have good referrals, and I say if you have someone you like, then good. But research really shows if you're doing talk therapy with pelvic therapy, you have better and faster results.
Do you think that's specific to the pelvic area, or, you know, because nobody says like, oh, well, your bicep is sore, it must be something traumatic. What do you think is being held in that area, and why do you think it's held in that area?
I think that A, people hold stress in their pelvis. Like, a lot of people don't realize that they're squeezing their butt cheeks or they're squeezing their butthole during the day. So a lot of people in general hold tension there. The jaw and the pelvic floor are very connected. And so if people are teeth grinders, or if they find that they're clenching their teeth when they're stressed, they probably are also clenching their pelvic floor. So those are very connected. So in that way, stress, but also trauma.
Whoa.
I know.
The jaw? Say that again. What's the connection there?
So fascially, like the connective tissue around muscles, it is connecting the entire body. So the top of your head to your toes. And it is very specifically connecting the pelvic floor muscles to the jaw muscles. Also, if you look at them, like if you look at the esophagus and all of the throat muscles and your voice box and all the things, they very much mirror the muscles of the pelvic floor, which makes sense because functionally they work together. So your diaphragm and your pelvic floor work together. The muscles, they kind of mirror each other and they move together.
Wow. Because I know a lot of teeth grinders and clenchers.
Like, yes.
Right. None of them would be like, yeah, and I also clench my butthole.
I know. No one notices it until I'm asking them and they're like, I always am doing that. I frequently am having people say, okay, when can we get into your schedule of check in on your body and check in on your shoulders, but also check in on your pelvic floor. So for me, I check in on my body every hour because I have patients every hour. So I know, okay, at the start of this hour, I'm going to just check in and see, okay, what do I work on my posture, let go of my butt, whatever it is. And I kind of try to find that for other people in their schedule, whether it is on the hour or at the start of a meeting, some way that you can do a body scan.
So, like, I know if I'm clenching my jaw, I feel pain around my ears. I feel pain sometimes behind my eyes. What would make you notice that you are clenching or holding tension in your pelvic floor?
I think most people don't notice until I ask them, but they might recognize, oh yeah, I feel like I am always squeezing my butthole, or I feel like I'm in a tense, like I feel tension in my pelvis. Some people feel pressure in their pelvis. That is a common one, is pressure in the pelvis. And then if they're having intimacy and they do feel like it's bruisey or sore and achy, that is because those muscles are in an elevated tone constantly. And so they're sore, like your bicep would be sore if you did a bunch of bicep curls. If your pelvic floor is in that higher state, it's always squeezed, it's always doing that bicep curl, it's gonna feel sore the same way.
Interesting.
I know, it's so fun.
I love how enthusiastic you are. So who would you say pelvic floor PT is for?
I say everybody. I think that it is really beneficial for everyone to A, know about your body, know what the anatomy is, know what it feels like, know what it should feel like, know what feels good and what doesn't feel good. So in general, I think that pelvic anatomy or pelvic therapy can be very educational. Additionally, we treat all people, men, women, people that are non-binary, everything. I have seen I've treated little kids for pelvic floor dysfunction, and I've treated, right now I have someone who's 94. So we see everybody. I see a lot of, my specialty is pelvic pain, so I see a lot of people that have pain with intimacy, with exams, just in their pelvis in general. But I also treat people with urinary issues like leakage, or they feel like they're peeing all the time, or they feel like they sit down to pee and it doesn't come out, or it takes 30 seconds to come out. I also treat people that have bowel dysfunction. So if they have constipation or they have fecal leakage, that's a common thing that is pretty easy to fix. And then people that are pregnant are really commonly seen in pelvic therapy. We get them to maintain the strength that they have and maintain mobility and work on preparation for labor and birth. And it's a lot of stretching and a lot of strengthening. And I practice labor positions and pushing and breathing techniques so that we can have you have the best labor and birth. And then postpartum, we work with people to help them get back to what they want to do, whether that is running or lifting or pain-free sex. I work on a lot of C-section scars and perineal scars and anything that someone has an issue with postpartum. Not anything, but most things pelvic PT can help, or I have someone that I refer people to.
I know that doctors recommend physical therapy frequently, right? You know, your neck hurts, go to physical therapy. Your ankle hurts, go to physical therapy, right? Why is this the first time I am hearing about pelvic floor physical therapy?
I think there are so many reasons. One of the big reasons is that doctors don't know enough about it. They might not know about it at all. So they might not be referring because they don't know that it even exists. Or they might not know the whole scope of what we treat. They might think that it's not super helpful because they've had a patient that went and they didn't have good results. And I think that we as PTs need to do a better job educating them about this is how we can help your patients. But I also think in general, our society kind of brushes off a lot of things that people experience in the pelvis in general, with their genitals in general, and especially women. I think that so often women's pain is brushed off, their symptoms are brushed off. I so commonly hear, and it's cliche at this point, I commonly hear if you have pain with sex that your doctor said, oh, you need more lubricant, or oh, just drink more wine. And it's truly, I can't even count the amount of patients that have been told that, because it's just insane. All that to say, I think a lot of times the things that we can help with, the doctors kind of brush off those symptoms. And so they don't really realize that it's an issue.
Do you feel that shame and societal recoil when it comes to talking about vaginas in general might contribute to this lack of discussion of pelvic floor and afterbirth intimacy and stuff like that?
I think in general, our society puts so much judgment and shame on all people, but especially women. I think that we are judged so much on how we look and what we do, and that's kind of under a microscope when someone is pregnant and when they give birth. Like, what are you eating while you're pregnant? Are you breastfeeding? Are you chest feeding? How are you sleeping? There's so much that you should, in quotes, do or shouldn't do. And so there's a lot of judgment and shame. And so then people don't talk about it. So I think a major issue is that people don't know. They don't know that other people have gone through what they're going through. They don't know that there are people that can help what they're going through. And so I think shame is a huge issue and contributor to people not getting the help they need.
Why is a pleasurable sex life important?
I just think people need to have pleasure and have things feel good. It's good for you. It's good for your health. It's good for intimacy. It's good for your relationships. I think it's really, in general, just really good for your health. So pleasure and a good orgasm can fix a lot of things. It can be pain relieving. It can help you be healthy in general.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this conversation that we haven't already talked about?
In general, I would love for people to know that if you have symptoms and you feel like your doctor's not listening to you, whether that's pelvic floor related or not, find someone who will listen. I think that you know your body best and you are the boss of your body. And so find someone who's going to listen and let you take charge. And I think you deserve to get the answers that you need. And the person is out there. So find someone who will listen.
Ariel is incredible and so passionate about the way the pelvic floor impacts health and sexual well-being. What I learned was that pelvic floor PT addresses not only postpartum vaginal needs, but also any pain or discomfort with sex and elimination, and more. From the picture Ariel painted, it sounded like anyone who has a pelvic floor and is over the age of 30 could benefit from PT. So that's how I ended up in her office recording a very intimate moment for you all to hear. I've had many experiences being half naked in doctor's offices, but this was the most thorough exam and intake conversation I've ever had. She asked me about everything from family history to my bathroom habits, and we went over which sexual positions feel good to me and which ones could feel better. She had information, advice, and solutions for any discomforts.
Have you ever heard about Onets?
No, what's that?
Okay, so they are these stretchy things that can go on the base of a toy or a penis, and they decrease the depth of penetration. So if you feel like you get pain when your cervix is being hit, or you feel like, okay, this feels good except for just at the end because it's a little too deep, they can decrease that and you can have pain-free intimacy. This is really good for people that like to be on their hands and knees or like to be in doggy style or other positions that maybe things just feel a little bit too deep. This can help decrease that so that you can have pleasurable sex.
Then she broke out a 3D model of the pelvis and explained the bones, nerves, and muscles of the area and what she would be looking for in the exam. I am aware that this is a podcast and you can't see what she's pointing to, but the way she describes things was so thorough that I felt it was worth keeping in.
This is the pelvis, this is the front, this is the back. The things that are red are muscle. You have three layers of muscle in the pelvic floor. So the first one is here, 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 and here. The first layer, all the layers work together, but they also have separate functions. So this is obviously holding in poop. This is a very supportive muscle for all of the pelvis. And then these muscles, their main function is truly to bring blood flow to the clitoris, because this is the clitoris, but this is also the clitoris. And that is their main function. They do provide stability and they do help kind of hold everything in, but that's their main function. So if people aren't able to have an orgasm, often it is because these muscles are tight around the clitoris and it's not getting good blood flow. Also, they can be tight around the nerves because the pelvic nerves go along here. So that's the first layer of muscle. The second layer is around the urethra here. So you can't really see it on this model, but it's right here. And then the third layer is this bowl. So it starts on the back of the pubic bone and then it goes all the way around here around the anus. It attaches to the tailbone. It's on both sides. And then this is a hip muscle. So it's not a true pelvic floor muscle, but it really does affect the pelvic floor because of its proximity. So the first layer is about this deep, the second layer is about this deep, and the third layer is that deep. So I look at each layer to see, okay, what's going on at this layer? So on the first layer, okay, if I am here, what does that feel like? If I'm pushing on the outside, what does that feel like to you and what does that feel like to me? And then if I'm internal, I'll be about this deep and I'm pushing on these muscles. What does that feel like? Does it feel like a bruise? Does it feel sore and achy? Does it feel nervy? Or does it feel like, that's weird, it feels like you're just pulling on my vulva? So I look at each layer. The second layer is more urinary related, and then the third layer really holds everything in. When people have tension in these layers, they often have pain, whether that's with intimacy or with a certain function. We can look at, okay, if this muscle is causing the issue, what do we do? How do we stretch it so that you don't have pain there?
After the anatomy lesson, it was time for me to put on the paper skirt and get an exam. Ariel explained what she was doing and why every step of the way, which helped me to feel way more relaxed.
So what I am gonna do is I'm gonna push on the outside. So you'll feel me start on the top left, and then I'm gonna go down a little bit, and then I'm gonna go to the right side in the same spot and go down a little bit. I'm looking to see what it feels like to me, but also to you. So let me know how it feels. My hope is that it feels like pressure, but if it feels sore or achy or snappy, let me know. Can you move your feet up a little bit more? Good. Is your hip okay in this position?
Yes.
Okay. So I am going to look one more time at the perineum. I'm going to do the internal part of the exam first, and then we'll go to that external perineum. Are you okay if we do the internal exam?
Yes.
When you're ready, take a deep breath in, and then as you breathe out, I'll go internally.
Part of this exam included breathing, squeezing, pushing, moving, and telling her what I was feeling the whole time.
And I don't feel, to me, it doesn't feel like your muscles are overactive. I mean, there's a little bit of overactivity on your left hip, on that hip muscle, mm-hmm. and a little bit on that superficial layer, but it doesn't feel crazy tight. It just feels a little bit tighter than the other side. Okay, so can you breathe in through your nose and try to fill your belly with air? Good, and then just breathe out naturally. Good, that was really good. Can you do the same thing, but instead of breathing into your belly, like where your belly button is, can you breathe into the sides of your ribs? Good. And then out, naturally. Can you breathe into like where your bra strap line would be in the back? And then out. That was really good. Did you feel like one of those was easier or harder than another one?
No.
Okay, good. It seemed to me like you got really good pelvic expansion when you breathed into your belly button and into where your bra strap line would be. You got a little bit of overactivity when you breathed into the sides of the ribs. So you were kind of squeezing the posterior part of your pelvic floor as you were doing that. So I would love for you to practice if you can think of, okay, I'm going to breathe into the sides of my ribs really like 10 times a day, just 10 breaths a day of expanding there.
It's such a weird place to think of.
It really is. And the reason I care is because the pelvic floor and the diaphragm, they move together. So as you breathe in, both come down, and as you breathe out, both go out. So if you can get full expansion in every direction of the diaphragm, then you're going to get full expansion of the pelvic floor.
Okay, that makes sense.
I learned so much this week about the pelvis and how much it impacts many functions of my body, including pleasurable sex and orgasms. After the exam, Ariel sent me a list of stretches to do to get my left hip to chill out, and other information about sexual positions, CBD lube, and muscle toning and relaxing things I can do for the rest of my life. If you are experiencing any kind of pain during sex or going to the bathroom, or you're living with the aftermath of sexual trauma or childbirth, perhaps pelvic floor PT is an option for you. Ask your doctor. We all deserve to feel comfortable in our bodies and empowered in our sensuality. There are many ways to change and grow, and wonderful people willing to help us along the way. You just need to know where to find them. Thanks for coming with me on this part of my journey, and I hope you will join me on my next adventure. All episodes are created by your host, Miss Lolly, for Bad Form Media. Our executive producer is Parker Edison for Meridian Arts. Edgar Almanar is our fantastic editor, and our sound engineer is Luke Henshaw of Penguin Studios. Theme music arranged and played by Miss Lolly. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer and sound designer Adrian Villalobos and KPBS producer Julio Ortiz Franco. Lisa Jane Morissette is KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. You can subscribe and find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund.
So how I like for people to push when they're going poop, and also if you're giving birth, is legs wide and breathe into your belly. So as you inhale, I want your belly to get big with air. And then as you breathe out, can you use your abs to tighten and push down? So your abs are kind of pushing everything out instead of your pelvic floor. And it takes a little time to get good at, but if you can do it that way, then you're able to relax the pelvic floor while you're going poop and not have to strain or anything. So that's something I teach a lot of people when they're pregnant and if they have kind of constipation, or really I teach anyone because most people don't poop that way, but it's the most relaxed way and it's really efficient and it helps get everything out. Okay. So you can breathe big into the belly, and then as you're breathing out, this is kind of weird, but think of pushing down and into a J.
Okay, okay, I can see what you mean.
Yeah.
With your leg spread, though.
Leg spread, yeah.
Okay.
For most people, that's what works. Some people tinker with the knees and bring them together or whatever, but yeah.
All right. What about a squatty potty thing, like the little seat?
I love a squatty potty. I think it's really good. It really makes sense mechanically. It helps slacken the pelvic floor muscles and helps them relax, so.
Perfect.
Good.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.